Thank you so much for joining us on the LifePoint Church podcast. If you would like to hear more from LifePoint, we encourage you to download the LifePoint app where you can watch sermons, take notes, and follow along in the Bible. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, we would love to hear about it at lifepoint.org/story. Again, thanks for joining us. We hope you are encouraged by today's message.
Have you ever made a decision that you thought was good in the moment, but then maybe looking back on it, you realized, what was I thinking? Come on, don't point to anyone next to you. Husbands, don't nudge your wives. This is a decision you made. You know, I have plenty of them, and I could give you a number, but I want to give you one. It was when I was 10 years old. Some of you guys might not know this if you're under the age of 18, but when I was 10, when we got bored, we went and we played outside. If you don't know what that is, just ask your parents on the way home. They'll explain. But we had bicycles, and I rode this bicycle, and my neighborhood was just a straight hill. So I would ride it all the way to the top, and I would ride it all the way down, and it was fun. I know some of you guys are like, that sounds horrible. Well, it burned calories, and I just had nothing else to do, honestly. And so one day, I'm riding my bicycle up, and something unexpected happened on the way down. You see, I was going down as fast as I could, and we had little handlebar brakes, and so I slammed the handlebar brakes, but there was leaves under my back wheel. And some of you guys are worried. As a 10-year-old, I slid about 5, 6, 7 yards, and listen, I thought I was Evel Knievel. Like, too fast, too furious. Come on, St. Louis, Missouri, I'm coming at you. And so I had a great idea. Just like every 10-year-old, we have great ideas. And I thought that I would rake all the leaves in my yard and put them in the middle of our neighborhood. Dad, you're welcome for all the slave labor I did just so I could have fun as a 10-year-old. So I raked all the leaves. And listen, my parents were amazing. Mom and Dad, I know you're watching. I love you. I'm thankful for you. You always provided and protected. They told me two things. They said, Ethan, always wear your helmet. Check number one. Always wear your helmet, friends. Check number two, watch out for cars. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'll do that. So I'm going up the hill. There's about, 10,000 leaves just laying there. And I'm like, all right, let's get ready. Like, grown man, 10 years old. And so I start pedaling. And I go and I hit this pile of leaves. And I've done this before. But this day, what I thought was a good idea was not such a good idea because I think I got distracted. I don't know if it was a dog bark, maybe somebody walking by, but just the slightest turn of my wheel. And instead of sliding straight forward, all of a sudden, my bike turned sideways, and it was concrete, Ethan, bike, sliding. And I got trapped under a parked car. Listen, I looked out for cars, but the parked one, I thought they were my friends. And in this moment, being 10 years old, I found myself hurting, alone, helpless, in need of a savior. And I just wonder if anybody in the house has ever been there before. Maybe for you, you weren't riding your bike, Evel Knievel, 10 years old, but you found yourself hurting, alone, or helpless. Maybe you wake up every single day and your marriage is on the rocks, but no one knows. And you just question, could I make it one more day? And you're hurting, alone, and helpless. Maybe you're a student in the room in middle school or high school, and you just walk through those halls feeling alone, wondering this, would anybody even know if I didn't come back? And you find yourself hurting, alone and helpless. Maybe for you, you thought you had friends, and then one day, out of nowhere, they stabbed you in the back and left you hurting, alone and helpless. Now, I'm not ignorant enough to think there's somebody in the room who might say, Pastor, I'm doing great. Life's good. You were just like me going up and down the hill on your bike, having the time of your life, but I need you to know this, it's coming. And some of you are like, Pastor, be more positive. Listen, I'm positive. It's coming. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You know, I think a common mistake in our culture is that sin makes you bad. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says sin makes you dead. In other words, sin kills your relationship with God. Sin destroys his plan for your life. Listen, sin leaves you hurting, alone, helpless, in need of a savior. So the question isn't, will this happen? The question is, what do we do when it does? You guys are so smart. That's my next thing I'm going to say. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn with me there. I believe God has an answer. It's a story you might be familiar with, but there's a character in here who I believe finds himself in this exact same situation. If you're there, it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and this is Jesus sharing a parable. He says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him, beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead." I don't know about you, but that sounds like he was hurting, alone, helpless, in need of a savior. It goes on to say, "Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw this man, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw this man, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where this man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you.'" Today, I want to use this scripture to look at 3 sources. I believe every single one of us look to for salvation at some point in our life. If you're taking notes, the first picture I believe this story shows is the picture of the Levite. In Luke chapter 10, it says, "So likewise a Levite, when he saw this man, he passed by on the other side." I believe the first picture this story shows us that we all look to for salvation at some point in our life is the picture of the world. It doesn't take long to open your eyes and open your ears and know that the world is calling for your attention, that it's offering a solution. But if you've lived just a few days, you know that it's not the right answer. I believe there's 3 lies the world tries to sell us, to convince us that it's the answer. The first lie, if you're taking notes, is that you've heard it before: money will fix all your problems. Come on, if I just had a Tesla, if I just had 2 more bedrooms, if I just had the iPhone 37, if I just had more, then I wouldn't feel like this. The second lie I believe the world tries to sell us is that pleasure will make you happy. That if you just swipe this way, if you just drink this or smoke that or meet this person, then you'll have what you're looking for. Money will fix all your problems. Pleasure will make you happy. I believe the 3rd lie the world tries to sell us is that status will fulfill you. 1 more like, 10 more followers. If they just recognize me, if I got put on the platform, then I'll have everything I ever needed. But every time we listen to the lies of the world, we always find ourselves hurting, alone, helpless, in need of a savior. Tragically, a few weeks ago, we saw this exact same thing happen in our world. There were 2 celebrities, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, and they had all the money. They had all the pleasure at their fingertips. They had every status you could imagine, but they found themselves hurting, alone, and helpless. And they took the wrong way out. You know, King Solomon in the Bible, if you don't know who that is, they would say he is the richest man to ever live. He owned kingdoms. He had all the pleasure. Listen, he had 700 wives. I don't recommend that. He said it didn't work out. I think you know why. He had all the status. Kings would come to just marvel at his feet. But he wrote this in Ecclesiastes. He said this. He said, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, everything, and all of them are meaningless," leaving us hurting, alone, and helpless. Parents, if you're in the room here today, I just need you to know, as your student pastor, that's why it's so vital that you make coming to the house of the Lord important every single week. Because there's never been a generation, listen, there's never been a generation who the world has tried to capture through social media, through Netflix. Listen, they're hearing the lies every day. And if they don't come to a place where the lies become quiet and God's truth becomes loud, they're going to listen to the world. You know, when I was in high school, I had this very same thing. I was looking for everything the world had to offer. I was 14, and there was a group of guys in my school. You guys understand. Every girl wanted to date them. Every guy wanted to be them. And so I said, I need to get in that group. So I finagled my way in there. I don't even know how, but they decided they were going to initiate me. So praise God, I made it. And one night, Friday night, they said, Ethan, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the most popular girl in the school's house, and we're going to ring her doorbell and run away. Some of you guys know this as Ding Dong Ditch. Horrible idea. Because what I didn't know is that these cool guys, these guys I was looking for status, as soon as I stepped on the porch, they all left me high and dry. And so I ring the doorbell, and I turn, and I'm by myself. And I'm a genius, so I run. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm running as fast as I can, and out of nowhere, I get punched in the face by a tree. I wish I could tell you I was looking this way, like dead on. This tree's right hook was stronger than any person I've ever met. And I woke up 2 hours later, bleeding, hurting, alone, helpless, in need of a savior. Because when we listen to the lies of the world, we always find ourselves that way. The first picture is the picture of the world. The second picture in this story that I believe all of us look to for salvation or for rescue is the picture of the priest. It says in Luke chapter 10, it says, so a priest, upon seeing this man hurting, alone, helpless, passed by on the other side. And I believe in our story here today, the priest is the picture of religion, that all of us look to the source of religion to save us. And religion, in our terms, is that there's a ladder that we have to climb to get to God, that we have to do more. And I want you to know there's three lies religion's going to try to sell you. And I believe there's even someone in the room here today who might be listening to the lie, and I'm here to expose it so you can hear the truth. The first lie religion tries to sell you is that you need more good than bad in your life, right? That if you just do more good than bad, the scale will outweigh itself. Or how about this? As long as you do more good than them, than the person you work next to, the person you go to school with, your neighbor. It's the lie of the world that you just need more good. The second lie I believe the world tries to sell us is that we just need to try harder. Come on, you got yourself into this mess. You need to get yourself out. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Do more. You're the reason. It's your fault. But every time we listen to the lies of the world, we always find ourselves hurting, alone, and helpless. And the third lie I believe religion tries to sell us is that you're loved for what you do, not who you are. That God and people love you just strictly off of the things you do for them. And sadly, my senior year in high school, I don't remember when it was, but I believed this lie of religion. You know, earlier when I was 16, I heard the gospel. I heard that God loved me, that Jesus saved me. And I couldn't believe that he would forgive me. But over time, I began to believe, unbeknownst to myself, that the things I did for God were the reason God loved me. In my senior year of high school, I'll never forget, it was New Year's Eve. I don't want to sit at home by myself on New Year's Eve. Nobody wants to just sit at home by themselves. And so I found myself, just like so many of you, in the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people, living the life I used to live before I knew God. And I'll never forget this New Year's Eve, because that year it was a Saturday. And I woke up Sunday morning, and I can't forget it. The first thought I had in my head was, I blew it. God's never going to let me come back. The church is never going to let me come back. I was in, and now I'm out because I blew it. And I found myself hurting, alone, and helpless. See, the reason it's important to identify these lies is because if you don't know them, you're going to find yourself trapped in them. But I'm here to tell you there's a third character in the story. And the third picture is the Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, it says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where this man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You know, I don't know what background you come from, but I think no matter where we've been in life, we've all heard, be the good Samaritan. Or maybe you've told somebody, be the good Samaritan. And I agree with you. Listen, that's what we believe in as a church. Love the unlovable, have compassion. But for today's purposes. I need you to know. In this story, we're the traveler who's hurting, alone, and helpless. Who is the Good Samaritan? The third picture, the third source we look to for salvation, the Good Samaritan in this story is Jesus. And I believe there's three things, three truths that Jesus does for you that if you understand these, you'll never listen to the lies of the world. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Three things Jesus does for you. The first one is this: Jesus has compassion on you. Jesus has compassion on you. It says this. It says the Good Samaritan, upon seeing this man, it says he looked at him with compassion. The English language, it can't even have a word for this. This Greek word means in love, moved towards. See, this destroys the lie that your love for what you do. Because this traveler, the Bible says he's half dead. I don't know about you, but dead people can't do good. It wasn't because of what he did. It was because of who the Samaritan was. I'm here to tell you today that God so loved you. God so loved me that when he was in heaven, when he could have left you hurting, alone, and helpless, he stepped down from heaven to earth. He made a way and he moved towards you in love. That's our God. Jesus has compassion on you. And that's just point one. The first thing that Jesus does for every single one of us is he has compassion on us. The second thing, I want you to write this down, is that Jesus heals you. It says in the story, it says this Samaritan, he bends down, he bandages up the traveler, and he pours out oil and wine. I love this because for my whole life, I was told the lie that you just need to try harder, you need to do more. You need to be enough. But this dead man could do nothing. This dead man, this traveler, he needed someone else to step in. He needed someone to move on his behalf. Can I tell you? So do you. Do you remember what we read earlier? Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." I want you to look at verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, But God, come on, there's no mention of your might, your effort, your trying. It says, but God, even when you were dead, what did he do? He made you alive with Christ. Listen, you will not strive harder. You will not do enough. I don't know what mess you walked in here with today, but this is our message. When you are hurt, he is a healer. When you are alone, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When you are helpless, he will hide you under the shadow of his wings. Your God heals you. Your God heals you. You've tried too hard. You've hurt too much to not let Jesus step in and heal you. See, the amazing part of this story is the Samaritan, it says he bandages up his wounds, which is a picture, I need you to know this, the same picture is that God sees your sin, but he covers it. All the hurt, all the brokenness, he covers it so he can't see it anymore, but he doesn't stop there. It says that he takes out oil and wine and he pours it on him. And these times, oil and wine were used for healing. God doesn't just forgive you. God wants to make you brand new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that he not only sees you, but he makes you brand new. God doesn't just want to forgive you. God wants to heal the broken parts. He wants to heal your marriage. He wants to help your addiction. He wants to change your life. Jesus heals you. See, three things Jesus does for us is that Jesus has compassion on us. Jesus heals you. And he doesn't stop there. The third thing I want you to write down is that Jesus supports you. If you remember, it says that this man, He already did enough. He did more than enough. But he didn't just want to leave him there. It says he picked him up, he put him on his donkey, and he brought him to an inn, or another translation says a safe place. You know, I was sitting here in worship, and the Lord just said, Ethan, so many of my people think that I forgive them, and then they're on their own. But they don't realize that that's not the gospel. The gospel is in your weakness, he is strong. The gospel is when you are hurting, I'm not only going to heal you, I'm going to pick you up. I'm not just going to walk with you step by step. I'm going to put you on my back day by day, hour by hour. I will carry you, I will walk with you, and I will bring you to a safe place step by step. Because Jesus supports you. You could change that word to carry. Some of you don't feel strong enough to walk. Your God's going to carry you. And I believe there's somebody in the room here today who even in this moment, you are feeling hurting, alone, and helpless. And the whole reason you're here is for God to save you. But I would not do this Bible, I would not do this story justice if we stopped right there. Because there's a fourth character. And I had to ask myself the question, like, come on, Samaritan, you've done more than enough. And I just kind of questioned, why did he pick him up and bring him somewhere else? And I feel like it's one, because he was smart, because he realized this. Part of the reason the traveler found himself in this situation in the first place was because he was walking alone. But he knew if he could bring him to a place where others looked after him, where others cared for him, where others had his back, he would never end up there again. Who is this fourth person? The fourth person is the innkeeper. And the innkeeper in our story here today is the church. I want you to know that when you pulled on the parking lot, there was an innkeeper in a green vest helping you find your spot. When you walked through our doors, there was an innkeeper welcoming your son and your daughter into Kids Point, teaching them his truth, not the world's. When you walked into the auditorium, there was an innkeeper who helped you find your seat so that you could be in the presence of God. The church isn't a building. The church is the people of God. That's why in Acts it says they met each other's needs. And I just feel like somebody's in the room here today. You remember. You remember when you were hurting. You remember when you were alone. You remember when you were helpless. And God saved you. And God's question for you today is, would you be an innkeeper? Would you be an innkeeper? How many single moms are in our city who God's just waiting for someone to step up and say, I'll be the one? How many students are questioning their existence? And God's just saying, is there anyone who would open up their home and be an innkeeper? How many people walk in hurting, alone, and helpless? And God's just asking for one. And I believe there's somebody here today who you're saying, I'll be the one. I'll start a small group. I'll be the one. I'll join the dream team. I'll be the one. I'm signing up for Paint the Town Red today because I remember my God. I remember what he did. I remember when I was hurting. I remember when I was alone. I remember when I was helpless. And I won't let another person feel that way. My God is going to bring me someone because I remember who he is. I'll be an innkeeper. And I know your excuse. Well, Pastor Ethan, if you knew my schedule, if you knew what my life was like, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough resources. Did you see what it said? Luke 10, verse 35, this is the Samaritan speaking to the innkeeper. He looks him in the face, and I believe God is looking you in the face today, and he said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you. I think there's some of you who've been sitting on the sidelines because you think you don't have enough. And your God's promise is that those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And God wants to use you. He's just waiting for somebody to say, I'll be the one. I'll be an innkeeper. But the other group of you in the room here today, that's not his question. He brought you here specifically because you've listened to every lie the world has, every lie religion's tried to sell you, and you keep finding yourself hurting, alone, and helpless. And God brought you here today because Jesus is here to save you. See, you remember my story earlier about getting in a bike accident when I was 10 years old. I don't remember how long I was under the car, whether it was 5 minutes or 5 hours. But I remember the pain. I remember the thought, what if I don't make it? But then I heard footsteps. And I thought, what if they're coming for me? Are they going to save me? And I'll never forget that moment being pulled out from under the car. And the face I see is my dad smiling down at me. I want you to know here today, your Heavenly Father is smiling down at you, just waiting for you to call out for help. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me all across this room? See, the truth is that sin kills our relationship with God. It destroys His plan for our life, and it leaves us hurting, alone, helpless, in need of a Savior. And when God could have left us there, could have left us in the muck and the mire, He said, I love them too much. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived the perfect life. And listen, He paid the penalty for your sin. And on the cross, the Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin so that you might become righteousness, so that God could heal you. Not just make you a better version of you, but make you a new version of you. And on the cross, He died, but He didn't stay there. 3 days later, He rose from the grave, defeating death, hell, and sin forever so that you could become fully alive. The Bible says this, all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. For those of you in the room today, you feel it right now. You're hurting, alone, and helpless. God said, I'm here to save you. All you have to do is call out. On the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, God loves you. Two, today's your day. Three, would you just lift up your hand saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus. Hands all across the room. Church, we're going to pray a prayer together. On behalf of those who are praying it for the very first time, would you repeat after me? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of all my sins. Make me brand new. I believe that Jesus died for me so I could live for you. Fill me with your Spirit so I could serve you all the days of my life. Today I'm forgiven. Today I'm new. Today I'm changed. Today I am free. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, church, can we celebrate those who got saved by the Savior?